You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. I have a fresh new Words Matter segment. This is, I think, of all the linguistic recurring segments we have, the Words Matter is people's favorite. That's my that's my interpretation.
Survey says, yeah.
And so today we're going to be talking about vocatives, which I, you know, as with so many parts of language, you know what they are, but even if you don't know what they're called, and that was the case for me, like, you know, you asked me what a vocative was, and I wouldn't have been able to tell you, but a vocative is a direct address form. So it's something that targets a person that's receiving it, and it can stand on its own. And so a person's name is a vocative, but then also things like sir, mister, boy, kid, all those things are vocatives that you could say at a person, and it is understood that you're referring to that person. And so the book takes this, the book is Words Matter, and I've been reading this book as slowly as I've read maybe any book ever. I haven't been stretching these segments out just for fun. It's really that I set it down for a couple of months at a time and pick it up every once in a while. So the book explains vocatives and then pivots into a discussion about power and solidarity. And so it explains that power and solidarity are terms for two very general features of social relationships. Power is an asymmetric relation. Power is one way only, conceptualized vertically. Solidarity is symmetric. Relations go in both directions, and reciprocity is called for. So the bottom line is that it matters how we address one another, because it is intrinsically intertwined with how we relate communally with each other, basically. And all of this is fundamental to either building solidarity or maintaining hierarchies of power. And so the most classic example is the one given in the book, where a cop, and this is, you know, years ago, but it doesn't have to be years ago, a cop, speaking to a black man, and the classic exchange where the cop refers to the man as boy, and the man is obligated by self-preservation to refer to the cop as sir. And, and then the same goes for choosing language that can establish hierarchy when speaking to someone with whom you wish to establish solidarity, right? Like, you'd want to do whatever the opposite of sir and boy is. If you want to form solidarity, you would go with that. And so actually, our transcriptionist friend, Ben, who volunteers for the show, in addition to being a working class hero and activist extraordinaire, he is in the habit, I just happen to know because we're in like chat groups, and a new person will come into the chat group, and Ben will always, or, you know, usually welcome them with the vocative friend. And so I wondered, like, what got him started doing that? Like, I thought it was great. It's like super friendly, but knowing just a little bit about Ben's background, I was like, I bet there's something deeper here. And so I asked, and so Ben says, I think I started saying that a few years ago, coinciding with my involvement in local activism. It's something that several of others in my organization do as a way of being welcoming, because a lot of the people that come to organizing, at least in my experience, tends to be awkward and shy, we want to make sure they feel comfortable and know that they are with people who have their back. We try to make them feel included right from the beginning. I guess I've expanded that out to other circles in my life.
Cool.
Exactly. I was like, bingo. You've nailed it exactly right, whether you know it or not, whether you have the like linguistic background and the research that explains how to build solidarity or not, that is exactly what they're doing. And I love that example.
It is the less scary comrade, right? Like that's, yeah. You know, comrade yeah. has the stink of the fear of communism on it, but mm-hmm. calling somebody a friend, same exact thing, is inclusive. It automatically puts you on the same level. I think a lot of like what we're missing with, you know, a loss of religiosity or whatever is a lot of that sense of community. And the churches, some like the churches that are more welcoming, call people brother, sister, like now you're part of the family. It's even more inclusive, more bond forming. And we need something like that. And friend, it's so simple. It's such a great way to talk to anybody. Like it's really like we should incorporate that more in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to get some pushback from people who are weirded out by it and say like, "Hey, we're not friends." But yeah, sort of a, you know, rather than innocent until proven guilty, it's like a friend until proven otherwise.
It's Will Ferrell, the elf. A stranger's just a friend I haven't met yet.
Exactly. Oh, so timely for the holiday season. Yeah.
Well played. Well played. And so, Amanda and I had an interesting experience with a Scottish cab driver. And we were talking about Americans in general, like Americans who come to Scotland. And he said that he's always had good experiences with Americans. They're always perfectly lovely and nice, which I'm sure is true. He probably wasn't lying to us. But he said, "I wish they'd stop calling me sir." and that was like a little window into a cultural divide where, you know, because of course, Americans riding in a taxi calling the driver sir is, I mean, I know from cultural experience, that's not like said ironically or anything like that. Like right. It really is meant to convey, like, I respect you and your work, and I appreciate you getting us to our destination safely, right? Like that's kind of what that means. But apparently there, they really don't say that. And it's like, no, don't put me on a different level than you. That's very unnecessary. And
they're fighting some, you know, heavy class dynamics in the UK that, you know, not that we don't have any, but they have more complex layers that are extremely deep and long suffering.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got personal example. Like I brought up the church example of, you know, calling each other brother and sister. There is like a sly kind of negative to that specific word when a white man with a certain accent calls me brother a little too often. Like, oh, man. That does not feel like inclusive or like joining. It's very, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a darker side to it.
Yeah.
I mean, so is it a darker side or is it just because it's flipped? Because a white guy talking to you is not so much inviting you in as mm-hmm. he is asking, can I join your club? Right? Is that like,
can depending I, can, on the context.
I mean, well, of course, but
in certain contexts, absolutely not. That's not what's being asked. But okay. I guess that could be the case. But yeah, I don't feel that's that's the way it's taken on my end most of the time when that happens.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's, you know, for white people who really don't want to be racist, even if, you know, the most enlightened ones who are like, I know I can't get away from it entirely, but I really don't want to be, that there's this sort of low level stress of like, how can I convince others that I'm one of the good ones? And so I sort of thought like that might be one of those ways, like calling a person of color brother, like,
very misguided.
You see what I'm doing here? You're like, I'm on your side. Like when the race war comes, I'm gonna be with you guys.
Yeah, I mean that's possible.
Well, I guess it depends, right? Because I feel like when you say a white person with a certain accent, I think you're conveying a different kind of person than a white person who is like aware of racial dynamics and what's going on. Am I right? You talked about someone else.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But what about all those people on TikTok who have an accent and rail against racism? Those are your favorite people.
They don't call me brother. They would not call me brother.
No, they would not.
They'd probably just call me Dion.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. But by the way, I just want to point out, so I had a revelation about the coming race war recently. Dion, I think I already...
Great. I love when Jay has revelations about the coming race war.
Casually
talking
about
that's my other favorite segment of the show.
Future genocide.
Dion, I think I already said this to you, but like the missing link or the like misunderstanding that the white supremacists, like not the only misunderstanding that the white supremacists have, just to be clear, but one of the major misunderstandings that white supremacists have whenever they try to start a race war by, you know, committing a mass shooting is that what they don't realize is that it's not going to be a race war. It's going to be a racism war. It's not going to be the white versus everyone else. It's going to be the racists versus everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they knew that, they would stop having so much hope that would go well for them.
I don't know if I've heard it framed that way before, but that's a much better, like more positive on like our side kind of way to frame it. Like, you know what? Yeah, there aren't that many of them.
No.
They really are the minority. They don't realize it, but they definitely are. Mm-hmm. And I think there is like that delusion that like, you know, those other whites will figure it out. They'll come, they'll be on our side. It's like, no, they won't.
Yeah. No, they really won't. I mean, that definitely is part of the delusion, but I mean, like, even if they have that delusion, they're like, no, like they'll come around, or like they're all secretly as racist as me, but they're just virtue signaling or whatever. But like, we just need to convince them, like, no, we're going to keep virtue signaling so hardcore that we would fight against you in that war because we don't. Because like, we might be as racist as you, but we are definitely not going to admit it. And you just got to like crush that hope out of them.
Go so far not to admit it that you will die right on the wrong side in the race war.
Yeah. Circling back a little bit to vocatives, we're not too far off because we're still talking about racism. This isn't in the book, but what it got me thinking about was Muhammad Ali, because a few years ago I did a deep dive. I mean, like maybe a documentary had come out and I watched an older documentary and sort of just dove in on his life a bit. And what comes up over and over again is particularly conservative politicians would continue to refer to him as Cassius Clay after he had changed his name. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they did that because he was black. Maybe they did that because he was Muslim. Maybe he did it because he was against the Vietnam War. Most likely it was all three. The point is that this is another instance. It's not sir versus boy, but it might as well be. It's, oh, you've told me what you want to be called. I'm going to not do that. And it's a power play.
Which is what happens with trans people all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that was the next place I wanted to tie it to. It's like, basically, anytime someone says, this is what I want to be called, like, are there counterexamples? Are there instances where it's like, no, that's not okay, we're not going to call you that? I mean, maybe, But as a general rule, call people what they want to be called.
I've tried very hard to understand the need to like defend civilization through two genders, the binary thing. And it doesn't make any sense, that backlash, that push, without the power dynamic. Like, there is no other way that makes sense. Like, yeah. Why someone that you will probably never meet, will never, like, the rare opportunity that you even see them in your community, that makes you that upset that you cannot possibly call them what they want to be identified as, doesn't make any sense without power, because that's just mm-hmm. all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about feeling so uncomfortable with their existence, whether it be a Black Muslim who opposes the Vietnam War, or a trans person, or, you know, anyone else, that, yeah, you have to try to push them down by using whatever power dynamics you can.
Yeah. And what it really is it's dismissing them. I mean, that's how I see it when we talk about the trans community. It's like, I don't want to, like, what you're doing and how you're living your life seems silly to me, or, you know, incorrect or whatever. And so I'm just like demeaning it and making it seem like nothing by not acknowledging what you are asking me to do, or how you're asking me to call you, and by making it seem small and like you're just squabbling over something silly, I can, you know, that person can be pushed down and, you know, made to feel that they don't really matter, or that their, you know, identity doesn't matter and who they are doesn't matter.
That's it because for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode. There's also a brand new episode just out that you haven't heard any of yet, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. We usually run a membership drive during the summer, but things were too busy for us this year, and so we did not do that, and wish we had. We're really feeling a bit of the squeeze right now as the year comes to a close, and so we could really use your support right now. If you've been thinking about or meaning to sign up as a member, now would be a great time. And if you're making your list of year-end contributions, we can't offer you a tax break for your membership, but I hope you'll consider us a worthy investment anyway. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.